How much do you love the Word of God? Is it just a book that you like to have on your nightstand or on your coffee table? Is it something you keep in a drawer when the pastor comes over to visit? You pull it out, say we want him to think we're spiritual. If you got your Bibles, please turn to Isaiah 55:11. The Word of God says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." I love guarantees from the Word of God. You can see guarantees, promises that God makes through the Word of God, or like forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, or giving your 10% and your tithe. And I mean, He brings out promises, and I love this chapter because He says something amazing here, that His Word will not return unto Him void. I claim that verse every day of my life because of what we do for a living. And we could not do it without great churches like you being behind us and supporting this ministry to help us print the Word of God. But there's just a few things I'd like to point out on the ministry of the Word of God. When you think about the ministry of the Word of God, you think of something so much greater than just a book that we pick up and read. This is the book that's the power of God unto salvation. This is the book of all books. This is the greatest book you will ever give anybody. Why? Because we Christians, we love giving gifts. I mean, anybody does, but we Christians have made Christmas a multi-billion dollar industry. We give gifts for all occasions. We give gifts for anniversaries, birthdays, Christmas, and sometimes we give gifts just because we love somebody, and because we're always giving gifts. Bible says it's better to give than to receive, and we like to give gifts. But one of the best gifts that I have seen in my own life that I can have and also give is the Word of God, because it's amazing. Ministry is first and foremost always going to be salvation. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." I mean, you cannot get saved outside of that precious book. I love the fact that at the age of 11, I walked into my mom's bedroom after a testimony service at our church. My pastor gets up to preach and he says, "Open your Bibles too." And somebody in the back stood up and said, "I need to testify." And for almost 2 hours, I listened to how God saved people and what He saved them from. And so that night I walk into my mom's bedroom and I look at her and I said, "Mom, I don't have anything like they talked about tonight." And my mom opened up her Bible and she got me lost before she got me found. And as a result of that, I called out on Jesus and I got saved. I've seen that so many times in people's life, that when the Word of God is preached, they understand, they can get saved. That's why the Bible is the greatest gift. But its amazing ministry is first and foremost salvation. I love the fact that we worked with several missionaries and pastors for a project in Baguio City, Philippines. And we sent all those containers over there. We sent three during the project. We followed it up with one. And during that project, we put an insert sheet in every one of the Bibles. And we gave them contact information and follow-up. And the pastor set up a website. And in that website, and just 1 week time of passing out those scriptures, they said they had over 114,000 people get a Bible and ask to say, "Hey, we received a Bible. Well, what do we do next?" So they were able to lead several of these, hundreds of these people to different churches. They saw a multitude of people joined churches. We saw churches that were running 50s, running hundreds. We saw churches that were running hundreds are now running thousands. All because God did what he said he would do. My word shall not return unto me void. I mean, you can just praise God right there. The amazing ministry of the word of God is first and foremost salvation. I love the amazing ministry of the word of God in salvation, but I love the amazing ministry of the word of God and also in growth. I mean, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Can you imagine that ye may grow thereby? How sad is it that we as Christians don't pick up our Bible and grow in Christ daily? I mean, that's our choice. When we neglect the word of God, we forgo the victories and the blessings that God has for us that day. But people in the third world countries, they don't have that opportunity. They don't have the opportunity to pick it up and grow like we do. I had a pastor's wife tell me not too long ago that she believed that if every Christian in the world would pick up their Bible and blow the dust off of it, that we would be that we would create the biggest dust storm that the world's ever seen, that it would make the 7 o'clock news. And after I thought about that, I thought that she's probably right, because I've been in homes when the Word of God has become a nightstand decoration or a heirloom for the coffee table, and they confess that it said, "Hey, we don't read it like we should." And it's the most neglected book out there. And I mean, we can grow in Christ. That's why it says if we're saved, we ought to have a desire and a hunger to read and learn more about Jesus Christ. Not too long after I got into the ministry full time 17 years ago, I was approached by a missionary in Africa. And he called me and he said, "Brother Lamont, can I get some Bibles?" I said, "Sure, I mean, that's what we do." And I said, "How many you want?" And he says, "I'd like 10 to 15,000. I said, "Sure, we get to work on them." We sent them to him and he got them. And he writes me a letter saying that, he says, "I just wanted to let you know that when I got these Bibles, I got into this village in Africa and I started preaching and door knocking, giving people Bibles out. I saw hundreds of people saved. And I set out on a time frame of 6 months to start a church from the time that we got there. And so I'd go door knocking and I would win people to Christ. I was giving those Bibles away. And all of a sudden, after about 2 or 3 weeks of door knocking, I had three ladies come to my front yard. They were witches, and they started hooting and hollering and chanting and all that kind of carrying on. And I knew that greater that was in me than he that was in the world. He says he didn't panic or he didn't care. He just kept on. He stayed in his little house, and they would eventually leave. And he said then he'd go out door knocking, and every now and then they would show up and start hooting and hollering. He said, every time, he says, I knew that he was greater in me than he that was in the world. So I just kept on doing my thing. Said I got to ready to start the church 1 week before, and all of a sudden those three witches were on my front lawn. They started chanting and hollering, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit sits down and says, "Hey, you do know nobody's going to come if that's going on, right?" So he says, without hesitation, he jumps, walks out the front door, starts preaching to him, and all of a sudden one of those witches, they stop him and they say, "What do you believe in life after death?" He says, "I'm glad you ask," and preach to him about life after death. And all of a sudden, he says he didn't win them to Christ, but he says he gave one of them that Bible that we sent him. And he said about 2 weeks after they started the church, a young man walks in the building and says, "I'm looking for the pastor." He says, "You found him?" And he starts telling him about, he says, "I need a preacher to preach my mother's funeral." He says, He tried describing her. He says, I recognize her as one of those three witches, but I did not know which one. And so he says, I never preached a witch's funeral. He said, I didn't know how. He said, but I got up there and preached salvation. And he says, several people in the congregation got saved. And he says, afterwards, he says, the young man that invited me to preach it came to me and said, it's customary in our village to go fellowship at the deceased home afterwards, the funeral. So would you come? And he agreed. And he says he just peeked into their little hut there and saw that black vinyl Bible that he had given her a few weeks earlier. He walked over there and he read the white page of it in it. And it says, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Please receive me as your daughter in Jesus' name. Amen. He tells me, he said, I wished I'd have known that before the funeral. But he says, man, that's the power of the Word of God. Can you imagine? The greatest gift you can give somebody. It has an amazing ministry of salvation. It has an amazing ministry of growth. Then thirdly, I want you to see that it has an amazing ministry of edification. You know, I love going to church. I've been born in church. I was born on the second row of Victory Baptist Church. My wife was born on third. We grew up together. We got married. We're missionaries out of that church. I've been there for over 42 years, and I love going to church. But I do love when the pastor preaches a message that I need to get something right. That's edifying. But I also love to when he preaches a message that said, hey, I'm already doing that, or I've done that, or something. Why? Because it's edifying. The pastor edifies the saints. But he does that through the Word of God. I was given the privilege not too long ago. I was in New York, and I introduced myself to a pastor there, and he calls me after a couple of weeks, and he says, Brother Lamond, do you have any Chinese Bibles? We do not print Chinese Bibles, but I did have some at the time, and I told him, I said, I have some. How many you need? And he says, I just need one. So I sent him the Bible, and he replies and says he's got it, and a couple months goes by, and he calls me out of the blue, and he says, Brother Lamond, you remember that Bible you sent me? And I said, well, sure I do. He says, I've got to read this letter to you. And this lady started this letter by saying, thank you, Pastor, for getting me this Bible. I wanted to let you know that I got it into China. If you know anything about China, China is the number one Bible producer of the world. They just don't know what Bible to produce. And also they have open providences and closed providences. Some providences in China, you can't go to the bookstore and just grab one. And some you might be able to. But when she said that, she let me know that she lived in one of those providences. She probably should not have a copy of the Word of God. And that just encouraged me. But what really changed my life was how she concluded that letter. She concluded it by saying, I want to let you know that right now, every member of my family is handwriting them their own copy of the Word of God. You know, I got off the phone with tears in my eyes, and I looked at my wife, and I said, I'm going to handwrite me a copy of the Word of God. I got to Genesis chapter 22 and said, this is ridiculous. I have a printing press. It's not as easy as it looks to think that somebody wants it so bad that they'd be willing to handwrite them their own copy of the Word of God. That's the amazing ministry of the Word of God. The second thing I want you to see is the abounding multiplication of the Word of God. You can see this in expectancy. Expectancy. These scriptures that you sponsor, these scriptures that you put together with your very hands will be shipped to thousands of miles and will stay in the foreign field way longer than the missionary gets to stay. We will never try to replace the missionary. But we want to give the missionary tools that they need to do the job that God's called them to do. You cannot do the work of God without the Word of God. So perhaps the door closes and a missionary has to leave. Because every year I have missionary friends that I've worked with, I've sent Bibles to, that have to come home off the field for some reason or another. I had a missionary friend to Guyana that was a bad situation, hostile area. They came home, and they still the Bibles we sent him are still over there doing the job that he was called to do. I had a missionary friend to Belize that got sick and went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You're going to die if you stay here." Those Bibles we sent him are still over there doing the job that he was called to do. I had a missionary friend to India, went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You're going to die if you stay here." Now, he had to come home, and those Bibles are over there still doing the job that he was called to do. Why? Because God says his word will not return unto him void, but it shall accomplish that whereinto he sent it. I love that guarantee. Also had a missionary friend in Sri Lanka that got a knock on the door. The police there and the government asked him and said, "What are you doing here?" And he says, "I'm here to tell your people about Jesus Christ." And he was deported, but the Bibles that we sent him are still over there doing the job that he was called to do. The unbounding multiplication of the Word of God and expectancy. The next thing I want you to see is the abounding multiplication of the Word of God and expansion. Every missionary that I've talked to personally will say that every copy of the Word of God will reach somewhere between 8 to 20 people's lives. Can you imagine that for 1 second? If there is 8 billion people that live on this planet, we should be able to print just 1 billion scriptures to reach the entire world with Jesus Christ. So that tells me the world's not unreachable. It's just unreached. So you see the abounding multiplication and expectancy. You see it in expansion. Can you imagine a look of a single mother in Haiti who proudly opens her brand new Creole Bible and shares the good news to her family and different aspects and different people getting their Bible and sharing it? I mean, this is the only book that I can say that I know without a doubt that will change a person's life. It will not only change their life, but it will change their family's life. Will not only change their family's life, but it will change generations. That's the Word of God. And the last thing I want you to see real quickly is you not only see the expectancy or the expansion, but the evangelistic cycle. You know, when you give the Word of God, you give more than just the Word of God. You give hope, faith, comfort, wisdom, guidance, truth, courage, the sword of the Spirit, light, life, a new song, strength, joy, ministry, sight, milk, meat, and the bread of life. You give them cleansing, you give them grace, you give them forgiveness, you give them mercy and freedom, and you give them salvation. But one of my favorite things about the whole thing is you give them Jesus Christ. My Bible says in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So that's the reason why this is the greatest gift that you can give anybody. My wife and I, before we started traveling for this ministry, we taught 5 to 8 year olds in our junior church. And my wife would do the leading the singing, and she would sing songs like "Each One Reach One." And I loved the song, but it never dawned on me the impact that if we would just reach one person with Jesus Christ, how powerful that would be. So if everybody in this room would make it their goal in 24 to reach one person with Jesus Christ. Guess what we just did going into 25? We doubled in size. Then we do it again, and we do it again, and we're in building projects. Why? Because eternity matters. That's the whole concept of the Christian life. Every January the 1st, people saying, what's your New Year's resolution? I go, I don't make them. They say, what's your goals? I say, I just want to win one person to Jesus. The reason I say that is because when I'm looking for that one, my heart, my mind, and my life are prepared for that one. I stay constantly, and the Lord allows me to win more than just that one because I'm looking for that one. He says, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. There's some people that's ready to harvest, and there's some people that's not. So we're to be always looking for that person. So I got this idea that I called a pastor, a missionary friend of mine in Kenya. We just sent a container of scriptures to, and I explained this. I said, in America, each one reach one. The math is so simple. I don't know why we don't take advantage of this. I mean, if I was commissioned to say, hey, I just want you to bring one person to church this year, you would think with 365 days, I'd at least find somebody. And I explained all that to him, and I asked him, I said, would that work in Kenya? And he said, Brother Lamont, what are you thinking? I said, I don't know. I just got to thinking that once you get these containers, you're going to be preaching these opening Bible conferences, and you're going to be giving out Bibles to everybody that come, and you're going to see a multitude of people saved, and it's going to be a great meeting. But here's what I was thinking. I said, how about not giving them the Bible until after the meeting? And when you give the invitation and they come forward and they get saved and you lead them to Christ with the altar workers and everybody, and you ask them to sit down and you ask them and said, hey, the guy that sent us these Bibles has asked us if we would take these Bibles home, memorize them, write some down, and ask God to give us one person. And when God gives us that one person, He wants us to turn around and give them that Bible that He just gave you. Well, at first he said, well, that's a pretty good idea, but they're going to ask, why would I give my only Bible away? I promised him, I said, if they'll do that, I will send you another container within 12 months. And he says, all right, I'll try. He says, he gave that challenge on that opening night. He says, he's several people. He said, I don't know. He said, but Brother Lamont, he said, I can't guarantee everybody did it. But he says, it sure was fun to see the ones that did. He said, I'd be out walking those dirty streets of Kenya, and all of a sudden I'll see somebody with that Bible walking the streets reading the Bible, and they'll see somebody in the distance, and they'll go straight to them, and they'll start showing them things in the Bible, and they'll start pointing at it, and after a little while you'll see them bow their head and pray, then you'll see them and say, I want to give this to you. He said, I saw about four or five people do that. Then I walked over to one of them that I was close to, and I said, why would you give your Bible away? He said, thinking that he would say the guy that sent him to us asked us to, or you asked us to. He said, that's not what he said. He said, 30,000 more Bibles in my country will do far greater good than me keeping my one. And that's how hungry people are for the Word of God. I was privileged not too long ago to meet a Ukrainian lady that was born in communistic Ukraine. And she started sharing with me after I preached. And she says, Brother Lamont, I was born in communistic Ukraine and I was the oldest of four. It was my job to get that Bible out of that fireplace and bring it to the dinner table and open it up, and we would read one verse or we would read one chapter. It said, for years, that's what we did. Day after day, we'd just get it out and we'd read one verse or one chapter. I'd take it, wrap it up, put it back in that notched out brick in that fireplace. It says, until this one particular day, we just got it out, got that knock on that door in a hurry. I wrapped it up in that fabric, put it inside that notched-out brick in that fireplace, lit that fire to only turn around to see them ransacking her house. And while they were ransacking her house, she says, I looked over there in that fireplace, and that fabric had fallen into that fire, and that fire was going up into that fabric. Said, I panicked. When they left, I ran and put that fire out, pulled that Bible out, and it was nothing but ashes. She said, for almost 10 years, my family lived without the Word of God because I messed up. Said, I remember like it was yesterday, my dad comes in and says, we're moving to America. And so we land in at the airport and on our way to home in Seattle, says, we stopped by the bookstore and got us another Bible and said, but this year it was different this time. Said, we opened up the Word of God, left it on the table. We read it morning, noon, and night, and we enjoyed the freedoms that we so longed for. Said, I didn't take long till I had to get a job in a factory there, and I would start going into work, and I would share with my co-workers every day what I'd learned in the Word of God that morning or that night. Said, Brother Lamont, this is why I tell you the whole story. He says, I learned quickly that people don't love their Bible like we loved our Bible. Said, I'd hear stories like, you talk about this too much, or that's in the Bible like they've never read it. He says, Brother Lamont, we longed and we yearned for the freedoms of America to be able to open up the Word of God and to be able to read it and to be able to study it freely. We longed for that, but Americans and people all over the world are neglecting that freedom because they don't know how long they're going to have that freedom. If you know anything about America, I mean, there's nothing that says we're going to have the freedom tomorrow to open up the Word of God. There's probably nothing that says you're going to have the freedom to open up the Word of God. So I want to conclude with this challenge. How much do you love the Word of God? Is it just a book that you like to have on your nightstand or on your coffee table? Is it something you keep in a drawer when the pastor comes over to visit? You pull it out, say we want him to think we're spiritual. I mean, a lot of people I know do that. And I'd like to see God send a revival of just a love for the Word of God. Because this is the power of God unto salvation. This is where we went to. This is where the preacher, this is where the altar worker, this is where they took us to say, thus saith the Lord, this is how you get saved. This is why you need to get saved. It's also the book that we go to grow in Christ, that we can learn more about Him. He says, draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. I mean, there's nothing better than a good message that the pastor preaches. I mean, I love it. I thrive for it. Sunday has always been my favorite day, saying, hey, we're going to church. Why? Because we're going to go learn about God. Something that we haven't thought of, something that we need to change, somewhere we need to go and do something. It's the house of God. That's where we get our life changed. All it took was one sermon that my pastor preached that changed my entire life. I was in college to be a criminal justice major. I am blessed to be third generation in this ministry. My dad and grandfather started the first Bible printing ministry of its kind in 1968. But I grew up in it, and at the age of 16, I left. I finished my high school education there at Victory Baptist Church, our home church, and I started working at a factory here in Shelbyville, and I quickly learned that they would pay for my college education. So I started going, and I majored in two things, business administration and criminal justice. Reason why, ever since I was old enough to walk, I wanted to kick doors down. I wanted to arrest criminals. I mean, I wanted to be that guy that was, you know, when you filled out the application for the FBI, they said, hey, this guy makes Chuck Norris look bad. We got to have him. And everything I did was to strive for that. I mean, from the time I was 18, I was a black belt in martial arts. The day I turned 21, I was getting my permit to carry. The day I was turned 25, I was in Panama City, Florida, getting my certification for scuba diving. Why? Because everything I was doing was to push me that much closer to when I graduated, I would be able to become FBI. The amazing thing about that is my Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. My pastor preached a message on Joshua 24:15 in June of 2007. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'd been married just a little over 2 years. I hadn't been that spiritual. I hadn't been pursuing or seeking after the things of God because I was pursuing after the things that I wanted. And when I started when I heard that message, I went to the altar and I said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Wherever you want me to go, wherever you want me to do, I want to do what you want me to do. So we started going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, any time we didn't even have church, just to go root on the janitor, cleaning the church. And we just started delighting ourselves in the Lord. And this is the amazing thing. He doesn't say that he will give you the desires of your heart just because you delight yourself in the Lord. He said, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Because when you're delighting yourself in the Lord, your desires of your heart are changing according to God's will and plan. So when He called me into this ministry in 2007, I surrendered my life and I said, here am I, Lord, send me. See, we need a revival for the love of the Word of God. How much do you love it? Would we be like that Ukrainian lady that would do anything to have a copy of the Word of God? You know, I've often wondered what would happen if the government or somebody came in and said, give us your Bibles. Would we just say, here you go? Or would we do everything we could to keep it? Because the greatest gift that we have is the same greatest gift that we can give somebody else. It's life-changing. It is the Word of God. First and foremost, the amazing ministry of the Word of God is salvation. Secondly, it is growth. And thirdly, it is edification. Why? Because there's a multitude of people that are living in sin that need the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to shine unto them. So thank you so much. May God bless you. And if I could ever do anything, please let me know. And if you're ever, ever in the Tennessee area, please look us up. I'd like to meet you personally and give you a tour of the Bible and Literature Missionary Foundation. When you see that paper running through the press, coming out 48 pages or 64 pages of the Word of God, it will change your life. When you see that press, when you get that press off the press and you take it into the collating room and you put your fingerprints on the very pages of the Word of God, you take that Bible and you put it in the conveyor and you send it down and get it bound and trimmed and it come out ready to go to the foreign field, it'll change your life. Because there's a multitude of people that are dying without Christ. And my Bible says that the entrance of thy word giveth understanding to the simple. People can get saved if we can just get them a copy of the Word of God. So thank you so much. God bless you. And I look forward to meeting you in the future. God bless.
Thank you for watching the message today. We invite you to join us again every Sunday and Wednesday for more inspiring messages from God's Word.